It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970.
I missed.
I sound all drunk today. I think Clyde was drunk enough that he was wafting through the phone.
I kind of got that impression, too.
I'm not
but
saying
he's at work, isn't he?
Yes. Lord knows those two things are mutually exclusive. No, I'm referring to the people here at CBS Radio, most of whom are drunk right now. It's 503-733-2970.
Way to get on their good side.
Make friends all over the place. It's 503-733-2970. It's part of our edgy outlaw appeal. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email me, like, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see, power saw attack. All right, I've got all of this stuff. I'm telling you right now, most of this stuff we won't get to. Oh, damn, and I completely forgot this, too. We've got tickets to the Oregon International Air Show, which is great, by the way. It's like 90,000 people go to that thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's...
I sit out my balcony and watch it.
Do you, actually?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you see it from where you are?
Yep, sure can.
Fantastic. So we've actually got tickets to the Oregon International Air Show.
Our banners are already hanging out there.
The station is going to have a presence that we're going to be... This is fantastic, by the way. The station is going to be there. AM 970 is going to be our street team. And we got to come up with a better name for them, by the way. Please do not call about it now. Later on, we got to come up with a better name for them than street team. Because every jackhole with a band has a street team. So we come up with a better name for them. But as they are now known, the AM 970 street team is going to be out there. And we're going to be, because everybody else is doing some huge over-the-top event out there. They're like, you know, having some gigantic thing to tie into the air show. And I believe we are having I believe we're going to have a whole long, day-long paper airplane contest. In manner of Pinewood Derby, but with planes. Paper. So I think that's what we're going to be doing. Everybody else is going one way. We're going another way. That's what we're doing. Anyway, we got tickets to that. We'll give those. Try to get some of that done today. It's 503-733-2970. Let us now go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Sad but true, more elderly are dying after falling here in Multnomah County.
My hip.
The reason? People are living longer.
Oh.
And as they age, they take a variety of drugs that make them fall all over the place. And the size of Multnomah County senior population is growing. It is now, get this, 11% of the people who live in this county are over 85 years old.
They'll never have enough applesauce to keep up with the demand. Applesauce, old people, that's funny.
I suppose to make it would be.
See, because they have no teeth. Because they're old. Ha!
So now you're picking on old people?
Yes. Yes, I am. What are they going to do? Seriously. I guess they, you know, never mind. I was going to say they're the only ones who vote. So I guess they could take away even more of my tax dollars, but what are you going to do? All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, Lakers Studios has rented 151,000 square feet of space near Hillsboro Stadium.
Who?
Leica Entertainment, which used to be Will Vinton.
Oh, I see. And didn't he get shafted out of that by Nike?
Yep, he sure did.
Didn't Nike steal the, they wouldn't steal it. They did something. I read some interview with him. He's like that Chris Belusi guy that made Ren and Stimpy. Just a bitter bastard. Just sits in a room and hates everybody and paints his windows black and seeds. Sits there and stupid Nike California raisins and just sits there and is angry all day.
So they're also going to build a 30-acre complex in Tualatin in 2008. So they're going to have a big movie studio employing at least 600 people.
Oh. Okay, so there you go. So they're just going to be doing stuff that he'll see no money from.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Two men who stumbled across a beehive were stung more than 200 times and fell 100 feet trying to escape.
I'm sorry.
This is from Arizona.
Did they live?
They did.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Arizona.
No, it's from where?
Arizona.
Arizona, Arizona.
There you go.
The hiker survived the fall.
No, because Arizona's the new Florida.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've determined.
And venom from the stings may pose a greater health risk.
Where do they live?
Arizona.
Arizona, Arizona.
Oh, get this. Firefighters use foam to suffocate the bees before rescuing them. And so this is something new. They have bee suffocation foam now. So I don't know.
I don't know why the phrase bee suffocation foam is fantastic, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's like some stuff that you would see like poet bee suffocation foam, morning omelet gift card wrap. And it would just be like you'd be reading it on the TriMet while a guy next to you was drinking out of a paper bag and wetting himself. he'd just be...
I always end up sitting next to that guy.
Daytime spatula, lawn, garden, mailbox, sky, shoot, apostrophe.
Cool.
Arizona, Arizona.
And now from Arizona, we now take you to Florida.
Oh, no, no! Oh, wait, no. Ha! Oh, God damn you.
What's going on with you?
I had that one. I had it first.
Stop playing it.
Don't make me play the rapping traffic, girl.
A thief who was trying to steal an airbag from a vehicle in a junkyard has suffered life-threatening injuries when the airbag deployed and exploded in his face.
Fantastic. Oh. Excellent. Well done.
It has caused him life-threatening injuries.
Ah.
A detective say two men with the fellow ran from the salvage yard, leaving him behind to die. It's interesting how it happened, but shocking to hear how his friends left them to die.
That's shocking. I'm horrified.
It's pretty messy. He has a big gash on the side of his head, and one of his ears is missing.
Oh!
Oh! Zing! In your face, literally and figuratively.
You got to bring trustworthy friends with you if you want to steal airbags.
I don't understand why he's...
Screen them carefully.
Why? I don't understand why his ear would be missing.
It depends on how it hits you, I guess.
No, seriously, somebody call now.
Somebody must tell.
We don't need to know.
I need to know. It's like the power saw thing.
It was horrible, said the victim's sister. They're supposed to be his friends, and then they just leave him to die.
It's not horrible that he's a thief. It's not horrible that he's a goddamn felon. It's horrible that, yes, it's horrible that his thieving friends didn't help him out a little more as they were stealing. I know that you live in Florida where morality is a little bit relative.
Well, it's a Jeb Bush state.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so somebody call me and tell me how it is that stealing an airbag could end up with you missing an ear. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm excited to know this.
Well, the world's first test tube baby, Louise Brown, is expecting a baby of her own.
Man, is it that old? Is she that old already?
Yeah, she was born in 1978.
I have memories of that because the Catholic Church was all horrified by it.
She and her husband of 2 years, Wesley, who is a security guard, are expecting their child who will be conceived naturally. When I was younger, I used to want 3 or 4, but I don't know now, says the test tube temptress. I'd just be happy with one.
Test tube temptress. Fantastic. All right.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Oh, here's, by the way, it's like 4.5 guys here. These are 4.5 times Darwin Watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't!
I ate all my caps.
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one
bites the dust. Oh, my heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
Well, we have several here. First, a 22-year-old man injured in a fireworks accident on Independence Day has died.
Oh, fireworks.
Andre Costa died at Rhode Island Hospital.
Now, before we read this, let me just say that this I'm happy to see this story because I was afraid that the window had passed. Because, you know, every year, like around December 15th, we start our Joy of Christmas segment in which we relate horrible things that happen to people, often children, around Jesus' birthday. Yes. And then there always comes a sad period of time, like by January 1st or so, when we're out of those stories and they don't happen anymore, and then my heart dies a little. And then I have to wait till the next December. So it is with fireworks accidents. Mm-hmm. You know? It just, like, it's around June 25th, 30th, people start blowing off hands and faces and fingers. And it lightens our mood here. And then it all ends. So I thought we had already left that sort of that event horizon, but apparently not.
Well, apparently, one of his explosives didn't ignite as expected when this fellow Andre Costa leaned closer to investigate. Ba-boom! It went up in his face. He wasn't conscious or breathing when rescuers arrived. They're investigating the origin of the device.
Okay.
Number two.
Fantastic.
A man who investigators say was trying to steal copper wire was electrocuted inside a Duke Power substation on Friday. Oh, this happened in Florida also.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, no, no! You.
Apparently, he came in contact with electrical equipment carrying 7,200 volts of electricity. John Louis Blander was found by a Duke Energy employee inside the substation. He said the tools and wire found near his body indicate he was attempting to steal the copper.
Fantastic.
This comes just from Milwaukee. A 19-year-old Milwaukee man who died performing a dangerous stunt at a party. Another electrocution. Andrew Flick was electrocuted after reaching off a fourth-floor balcony to touch a power line. Now, he was with some friends inside the east side of the park.
Watch this!
Witnesses at the party say Flick wrapped his legs around the balcony's banister and reached out to touch the electrical wires. Now, his mother, Deborah Walker, said Flick's girlfriend tried to stop him, but received a shock herself. She was the last one to see him alive. He was goofing around. She started screaming, and then he jumped.
He fell four stories to the ground below. Alcohol may have been a factor.
No, I behold my shock.
He's a recent high school graduate.
Uh-huh.
Magnolia, Delaware. A Magnolia man sustained burns to his hand and face after using gunpowder to light up his barbecue grill.
This is the half, by the way. This is where, this is one of those where God tries to kill you, but he only gets a leg.
It just gets worse. Yeah. The Delaware State Fire Marshal's office said the incident was reported shortly before 11:30 p.m. in the 100 block of Graves Lane in the Meadowbrook Acres Trailer Park. Apparently, the man called 911 and complained of burns to his hand and face.
He called and complained. I don't know how it happened. It just seems to have...
Investigators say the 50-year-old man was burned when he intentionally poured gunpowder into a charcoal grill and ignited the powder, causing an explosion.
Who could have seen it coming?
The fire self-extinguished and no fire damage occurred, thank goodness. The grill was outside in the yard when the incident occurred. Investigators believe alcohol also played a part in that.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, an exhaustive 3.5 series of Darwin Watch. There you go.
Don't,
good
don't.
Times.
Another one bites the dust.
You can almost feel the mean IQ going up.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Ah, excellent.
I do have one breaking Florida story.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Oh,
I've got
it.
Oh, you'll let me have it. Thank you.
Oh, I should have already played it.
Oh, wait, hold on. We've got an answer on the exploding airbag. We got two. We'll see if they agree. Todd, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Brother, what's up?
Well, I understand you need an explanation as to why an airbag would blow someone's ear off.
Well, they can't even find the ear. So maybe it was just driven deeply inside his head. No one knows. The ear is missing.
Basically, an airbag has not one but two explosive charges within it.
Fantastic.
And depending on how much you weigh, the seat and the computer and all the voodoo that goes on in your car determines which bag and which charge to set off based on your weight. And with the capacitors and all the electronic boombox stuff that's in there, there's still electricity, there's still a charge in there, even after you physically remove the bag from the car.
Oh, so this is not even the airbag hitting him. The airbag was already gone, so he just got just the explosive agent in his face, probably.
Well, either that or, you know, he's physically carrying the airbag away from the car, and I don't know, he touched something or did something off in his hand. And those of us that, you know, have a lot of spare time, I've actually set off airbags outside of the car using a battery.
Just to amuse yourself?
Well, you know, you do what you have to.
Sure,
and they'll go about 30, 40 feet in the air.
Oh, damn. So if you had, like, soft, fleshy things hanging off your head, those would be gone.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
Jesus. Boy, that's great. Fantastic. Thank you, Todd.
Anytime.
All right, there you go. Good times. Let's see if Chuck agrees. Chuck, hello.
Okay. It deploys in 1/16 of a second at 330 miles an hour, and it could be set off by as low as 4.5 volts, so a cell phone battery, and it probably caught his nice little piercings and whatever on his ears.
Oh, yeah, if you had a piercing, it would totally grab those and just, yeah, that would be like a good handle.
Good times.
Okay, thank you, Chuck.
Have a nice day.
All right. Okay, thanks, Chuck.
The booby doctors and...
The booby doctors and... I don't have
Tim,
that's
dead on.
I don't have that as a sounder. I don't have the... I got to isolate that. The booby duck in. Here's Tim Riley.
One breaking Florida story.
Oh, no! Okay.
Wow, that took a long time.
A Dateline Tampa.
Shut your mouth.
A man resisted police officers after he was caught exposing himself and masturbating at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
At the what Hard Rock Hotel?
The Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Officers said a 45-year-old Robert Edward Stewart did this around 2 a.m. People in the casino saw Stewart exposing himself. He tried to pull away when police handcuffed him.
He tried to what?
Tried to pull away. When police handcuffed him and refused to get into the police car, he was then taken to jail. He was charged with misdemeanor exposure of sexual organs, misdemeanor disorderly conduct, and he was arrested without violence.
And where was he doing this?
This happened at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
All right. Scotty is screaming to me via the instant messenger that I should play his. See, but it's just a Miami sounder. It's not a Florida sounder. Do we any of these in Miami?
This is Tampa.
Yeah, see, he made this He made, like, a subset of sounders now. So we have the Florida sound, you know. But then Scotty made this,
Miami.
That's good, too.
It's fantastic. And that's just the open. It's got a close, too. Here's the close.
Miami.
That's just Miami stories.
Well, we'll have to go find some.
Oh, look at me. I didn't even play you the other Stormwatch that he submitted that we never listened. Here's his other attempt.
Another Bob Dylan song?
No, thank God. No, we ended up just, I had to step up. I had to man up and just make the Stormwatch thing myself with Jairus. But listen, this is his other submission for... So there you go. So we opted not to play
Let's move forward.
Miami.
All right. I don't know what we're doing.
News.
Are we?
Am I still here?
Do you know how much stuff we still have to get to?
I think I saw...
Well, Madonna has squashed rumors that she's leaving Kabbalah over concerns of her finances and family relations. She reportedly was fed up with the financial burden of championing the Jewish belief system.
Doesn't that seem like there's a pun somewhere with Kabbalah that we should be able to make?
I think so.
Kabbalah something. Is there something that rhymes? Well, Kabbalah didn't really rhyme with anything, I guess, does it? Dishwala Kabbalah.
Apparently, it's compromising your relationship with husband Guy Ritchie.
He lives in a shed. Doesn't he live in the tool shed? Isn't that what we heard?
He might be.
They live in the house, and he lives out back next to the potting goods and whatnot. Yeah. All right.
One area of alleged contention is Christmas, which the family currently doesn't celebrate. That's no fun. Madonna would reportedly prefer her kids not to be alienated from conventional customs.
Yeah, too late. Being Madonna's kid is just sort of an alienating thing in and of itself. Celebrities shouldn't be allowed to have children. It's like I think about Eddie Van Halen, named his kid Wolfgang. How'd you like to go through life, even if you weren't famous, with the name Wolfgang Van Halen? That's got to be the worst life on earth. And then she won't let them celebrate Christmas. It'd be like those freaky Jehovah's Witness kids on my block growing up that couldn't celebrate Christmas. I mean, look, I don't mean to cast aspersions on one religion over another, but come on, for the love of God. I mean, literally, just, you know, and we would all be celebrating Christmas, and the kids would just be sitting there in the window looking all glum. Just sitting there looking all sad. All right, here's the thing. It is now 2:15. Now, we presumably have Peter Carlin on later.
I never heard back.
Well, no, he called. I told you this last time. He called back and said we were a go.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Where were you?
I don't know.
Okay, so we have that. And then we have all of this unpleasantness, which I haven't gotten to. And I just don't know that I even want to. Here's the thing, because...
we're going to. We put a lot of work in... Well, Scotty
put a lot of work into this. From now on, whenever you hear us talking about how we've done a lot of work, just in your head, just mentally insert, like, Scotty. How to begin? Here's why I almost don't want to bring this up. And I will, because I don't want to be that guy saying, oh, this is so unbelievable, and then I never bring it up, which is what we almost did on Friday with that email. Because remember we had that whole run-in with those guys with the fan. And I don't even remember how that started.
I think people were picking on us.
I remember they were making fun of you, and then so we just said some things in your defense.
See, I thought they were making fun of you.
No,
I thought that's how it started.
No, they're making fun of you, so then I stood up for you, and then in turn they started saying all this crap about me.
See, and I almost hate to do any of this because it's just such a cliche. These stupid radio shows fighting. Like, anybody cares. That's the thing. It's like you get these idiot radio shows, and they battle back and forth like it's a Biggie Tupac thing. Because radio guys all think that they're stars and celebrities, which they are not. I mean, it's like, I think Howard actually said that being big in radio is like being the king of a dung heap. You know, we really are just like a couple notches. As Donna Mike would say, we are just a couple notches above circus clowns, and rodeo clowns. I am aware of this fact. But you get these idiot radio shows, and they all have a long history of doing this. You know, all radio programs everywhere, especially like kooky, like zoo type shows, where it's like some, you know, it's like, blank and blank, you know, any show that's like blank and blank in the mornings or blank and blank in the afternoon. At some point, they'll always pick a fight with some other radio show in the market because they think it makes them look tough. And so, and it doesn't, by the way. It makes you look like a guy in a fading industry who's desperately trying to get attention by picking on somebody else. And so I am so reluctant to even bring it up or talk about it, except... And Sarah gets way more upset about it than even I do. Like, I'm always so tempted just to write it off and not even bring it up. But, like, Sarah gets way more crazed.
No, because you're not tempted. What you do is you'll bitch about it to me, and I have to keep hearing about it, but then you don't talk about it on the air.
All right. So here's the thing. Here's what happened. Is that, and On Friday, I read, verbatim, by the way, and I don't think I edited it, I don't think I altered it in any way. On Friday, I read an email from our good friend Kristen in accounting, who is a listener to this program, and she know, I think I actually have the actual email in front of me. I think I actually, I put them all aside. So here we go. Let's see, I actually, this is, where the hell did I
guess we don't.
No, I do have it. I actually put it in its own separate pile. Which of course,
we'll just wait here in real time.
You sit here and amuse yourself.
Where you look through everything in the room.
Oh, we have all this other stuff to do.
No, you sons of bitches, I'm doing the best I can. Oh, here we go.
Well, this is just like Fibber McGee's closet.
This joke, copyright 1945. All right, so I have here this email from Kristen in accounting. And this is sort of the email that started the whole thing. She said, do, and then it's this the name of this other radio program. Does blank wacky FM radio show realize they steal your show every day? Yesterday, she said this Friday, so this would have been Thursday. Yesterday, they were talking about a contest for the listener who has the most sex offenders in their neighborhood. And then later, about how they were trying to be relatable on Thursday. So all I did was read that email at the end of the show. It should be noted, by the way, that it was Wednesday. Wednesday we had, because we've been talking about the sex offender website forever and ever and ever. We've been talking about it for like 2 weeks now. And we had Susan Reynolds from marketing on. Because I had been saying for many days that I was going to roll out a contest wherein we were going to give things to people who had the most sex offenders in their neighborhood. In fact, we went so far as Wednesday afternoon to have Susan Reynolds from marketing on the program. Right here in front of, as my old nuns used to say, in front of God and everyone. So we brought Susan Reynolds on like, hey, I'm going to do this contest about sex offenders in your neighborhood and so forth. So then what happens mysteriously the next day? The next day. Apparently, Kristen is turning on said wacky afternoon FM radio program, and they're doing a contest wherein they are giving prizes to the person who has the most sex offenders in their neighborhood. And then they say at one point, way to be relatable. And it's like, I understand that you can't trademark the word relatable, but having a relatable Thursday is sort of one of the things we do. In fact, do we have, I believe I do, I have the actual sound. Hold on. Is this... who is this? Scotty, is this Peter Carlin? Scotty just came in and pointed at one of the phone lines and ran away. Okay, is it Peter Carlin? It's Kristen from accounting? Oh, okay. All right, thank you. You could just type it on the screen, I suppose. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Kristen from accounting.
That was the best.
Yeah, how are you?
Well... I'm a little PO'd, to tell you the God's honest truth.
Yes.
You know, Sarah, I'm with you. It just pissed me off because every time, because, you know, I don't usually listen to the radio other than your show.
Thank you.
Except when I'm in the car, I don't have a CD player, so I do flip on the radio. And I am oftentimes on said radio station, whatever. And every single time I turn on their show, there's something that I'm like, oh, yeah, Rick did that the other day.
Well, I have...
Or, you know, just all these... And it's never really, like, a big deal, but it's always, like, a little thing, like the relatable thing.
I have this... Hold on. I have the soundbite here, actually. Now, this is part of the Thursday program here. Let me... Let me cue this up here. Because it's... Scotty, God bless him, he gave me, like, you know, like 40 minutes of the show. Hold on. Let me play just part of this here. So this is them introducing the contest.
His house in Salem.
Wow.
And this thing basically tracks all the known sex offenders in your area within a 1 mile radius.
So a little bit later on, we'll play a game. And we've got some DVDs.
Yeah.
We'll see who has the most sex offenders.
We also have passes to Court and Fatboy's.
Why, that's genius! Whoever would have thought of such a contest? All right, now this is... And then here, this is apparently them... they're mentioning how they're being relatable.
Up and ready to fight anything that steps out into the street when we go home.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Hold on.
Everybody worries about their kids being snatched up by some sexual predator. What?
Are you laughing? No, you just made that very relatable. I applaud that.
Oh, my God.
It's gold.
God.
It's almost like they're being relatable with the audience on a Thursday.
Now, can you see what I'm saying? I mean,
all right. So this is initially what prompted your email.
Exactly, because it just occurred to me on Friday, and I didn't even think it was a big deal. I didn't think you'd be, you know, I thought it was funny because it was so... similar to your show. And that's what I said in the next email. I was like, I thought it was some CBS memo thing that y'all got.
No.
About trying to be relatable.
No, that's a thing. No, that's just a thing we say here on the Rick Emerson Show.
What happened on Friday?
Hold on. And I got this. Listen to this. Listen to this email. Now, these are all emails I'm reading. These are all real. You can see I'm holding these up. These are all real. I was listening to that radio program last night. They were reading the news covering Congress and their debates and immigration, blah, 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 blah. At that moment, the no sounder that you use for Aaron Geek in the City rang out. A few minutes later, a listener called in to complain about their poor signal strength. They explained they were having transmitter problems, blah, 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 blah. At that moment, one of the hosts asked the caller, quote, "Are you spreading the word?" End quote. Now, again, none of those words in and of themselves are trademark. But, of course, everybody who listens to this program knows it for like 5 years now. That has been our standard common end-of-call catchphrase, which is the "are you spreading the word" phrase. So there you go. That is from John in North Portland there who says that. All right. So that happened. And then I did not hear Friday's program.
I did.
All right. So
how was it?
Do I even want to know?
Because I sent you an email on Saturday.
You sent me an email kind of listing a bunch of things that happened on their Friday program, and it's like about three sentences in, it's like I could feel my blood pressure starting to get dangerously high, and so I just skipped. I just hit delete.
Oh,
give us a brief rundown. What happened?
I have the audio from it if we want to play it.
Oh, I want to hear it.
All right.
You should, because, Rick, it's one thing, like you were talking about, to have a radio war kind of thing, kind of stupid, whatever. But they verbally attacked not only you, but then Sarah.
Of course.
They called Scott Daly your henchman in the background, and then they proceeded to blast Storm.
They
said you were doing your show from Storm's colon.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that boy's inimitable wisdom on that one. But, you know,
I don't even know what that means. I mean, I guess linguistically I know what it means.
They were like, because you've got your head so far up, Storm.
Yes,
beautiful,
yes, I,
well-formed.
Let's
backside.
Thank you.
That, right. Yeah. But obviously they're the ones with their heads up somewhere, and
right.
God only
it's
knows.
It's so flattering that they listen to our show.
All right, well, hold on. I've got the actual sound.
Well, but listen to dude cover his ass. If I say, this is the best one ever, coming up here in just a little bit, it's so great, it's going to blow your skull off.
But there's a gray area in between. You can just launch into it.
What is this?
I don't know. This is Scotty just to edit it down.
Also,
it's about shin high.
We have been besmirched.
What?
Yes. We have been besmirched by another radio guy, Rick Emerson.
All right, he's just put all these together with little...
Uh-huh. And we're going to give him a call a little bit later.
We're going to give him what for?
Oh,
we need to straighten something out here.
Did you not get him on the phone?
So
they were unable to get me on the phone.
Up here.
All right, these are just... If you hear the silence, Scotty's just put together segments of the show with silence. They have not been altered in any way.
How many people like hanging out with us? They're like cool. Listening to us.
Cool.
They write down what we say. And then they email it to other radio hosts.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get to that a little bit later on,
yeah.
Too. Somebody's claiming that we're ripping off Rick Emerson, and Rick Emerson can bite my dick.
What? You can
bite your what?
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me.
And then they email it to other radio hosts.
These are not altered. I did have Scott. I told Scott
to
edit anything that was inappropriate for broadcast.
Somebody's claiming that we're ripping off Rick Emerson, and Rick Emerson can bite my dick.
Wow, Jesus, because they've had such nice things to say about you before.
See, they call me a tattletale.
All right, but. Let me be clear about something. Hey, did you edit that? You removed the... I mean, they said the word and you edited it out? You bleeped it? Okay.
So they actually said that on the air.
Whatever.
Why would he want you to do something like that?
And why would you decide that phrase was something that should be said in front of a live microphone?
I don't know. Someone's, like, overreacting a little bit. Did we hit a little too close to home, Pumpkin?
Well, it's obvious that they are stealing the show.
I don't think anybody's noting the fact that you...
It's not like...
Why would it come into your head that that's a thing you should say on the air in 2006?
And I'm sorry. I mean, a little bit of our off-air talk. Have you not spoken to Corton, whoever the new guy is, that that they were fans of your show before?
Apparently not, because they claim that they don't listen. No. So hold on. Well, let's continue here.
We'll get to that a little bit later on.
All right, well, we'll continue to listen to this.
A little bit. Apparently, there was some controversy.
Yeah.
Some radio controversy.
Mm.
And we were smack in the middle of it.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to us.
Yes.
Sure.
Uh-huh. We talked to Rick Emerson before over at AM 970. And, you know, we have a nice little relationship going on with us.
But they don't listen, apparently.
Yeah. He's a rather jovial fellow.
Yes.
And he's sort of on our wavelength.
Yes.
I think.
Right. And apparently now there are accusations.
Yes, accusations of flying. There are people hiding out in the back trying to, antagonize and build things up and try and tear down this temple that we have built and intertwine together harmoniously in the name of geek and everything that is.
I don't understand any of this
at the same time.
All right.
I'm just playing this as he gave it.
Make as grandiose as possible,
I know
man.
You're trying. Yeah. When you hit geek, it just all the grandiosity just dropped.
That's geek gone. Grandiosity.
All right. So, but apparently there's been some controversy, some smack talk, and we'll play you a little clip of Rick's show coming up here in a little bit where he's slamming on us, and I think it is unfounded.
So surreal.
Yeah, it's totally unfounded. So
we're on our show playing their show playing our show.
I'm hankering. All right. It's making my head. It's like an Escher
slapper. I'm ready to go.
Now, doesn't this just want to make you catch a speeding bus head on? Or into that boy?
Right, well, anybody who, gets accused of something, maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe your girlfriend does it or whatever, even though you know you're right, even though you know that you're not guilty of the crimes that you've been accused.
The Rick Emerson show.
You still get that pang.
Yes, you do.
That desire to, you want to scream like, what the? No! No! And you do everything you can to try and correct the situation.
All right.
They're totally looking
yes.
You are, in fact, the ass that they're trying to portray you as.
It's a classic trope of storytelling. It's Hitchcock's bread and butter, as a matter of fact.
Sure.
A man wrongly accused, trying to clear his name, but only digging himself in deeper, even though he is ultimately innocent.
And I don't understand any of this.
Wow. It's we almost find like ourselves.
We are in a Hitchcockian position here.
Yes, we are.
Seriously, could I go to sleep for like half an hour and have missed nothing?
Here
we are.
Soon.
All right, hold on. We're just rolling.
So here's the deal. CBS owns a bunch of stations, including ours, and including our little AM station.
Our little AM station.
It's okay, keep going.
Okay. I do say little. AM station. KCMD,
yes.
970. Solid State Radio. Thank you.
Thanks, almost boy. A clear channel?
I guess. All right. So, and on that station is Rick Emerson.
Yes.
And he's kind of a friend of our show.
Yes, he is.
And I think we're kind of a friend of his show.
You're his number one friend on MySpace.
There you go.
And if that doesn't say
anymore.
Friends Forever, BFF, I don't know what does.
That's right.
I really don't know.
We sip malteds down at the soda jerk.
You were saying grease lines at each other.
Yes. Okay. So
you're Kinnicky, he's Frizzo.
So being part of the same company, we have the same sales staff and stuff. Like they'll listen to his show.
It's making my brain soft. I'm gonna have to skip ahead.
Blah, blah, blah. And occasionally we'll get this. Hey, did you hear what was on Rick's show?
Those little sales guys, I was going to heat up.
So I did.
Isn't that a music station?
I'm just having to. Do we have the audio?
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
This is apparently what they're talking about us today on
okay,
their show.
Okay, so they. Okay. Jesus. So this is them on Friday playing what we had said about them earlier
us
that day.
Playing them.
This is
playing
us playing
us.
Them playing us.
I'm just going to read this email from Kristen in accounting. Do Court and Fat Boy realize that they show you, steal your show every day?
No.
Yesterday, that would be Thursday. They were talking about a contest for the listener who has the most sex offenders in their neighborhood.
Okay.
Then they noted that they were, quote, trying to be relatable, end quote.
Okay, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
that's what every radio person is trying to be, is relatable.
Yeah, and then I've made fun of you for trying to be relatable over sex.
And also, by the way,
you guys have an FM show.
Skipping
we're just
ahead
a little
here. Turn into like freaking David Spade.
You guys have an FM show. We're just a little piddly AM station.
Oh, no, it's...
Yeah. Please, leave us alone. Let us have our bit.
Let us have our dreams.
What?
Did you hear at the end? She turned into like freaking David Spade.
Bye-bye. Let us have our bits. Bye-bye.
Well, she sounds cute, so
no,
that's
she,
all
she
that
is. She is very cute, but what is she talking about?
All right, this is them talking about us.
Don't know. Let you have your bits?
All right, so, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. For anybody who listened to our show and Rick's show, if
obviously,
at any time...
Obviously, you're a man of taste because you listen to both our show and Rick's show, obviously.
If at any time you ever catch us doing the same thing that Rick is doing or vice versa, by all means, call us.
Yes. All right, so there you go. By the way, there's your open invitation. Let's hear that part again. Hold on, let's...
Uh-huh. I can tell you this is not ripping. Somebody email just doing the same thing that Rick is doing or vice versa. By all means, call... call us.
Yes.
And tell us. Call us on it. See if, in fact, we are ripping the man off.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you this is not ripping. Somebody emailed Fat Boy.
Yeah, a friend of mine, my old roommate, would tug on Rick's pants leg and tattle to him really quick.
Oh, who is that? I'm skipping ahead to the show.
I like that they're scribbling down specific lines, jotting them down so they can run and tug on Rick's pants leg and tattle to him really quick.
I know, totally I'm just,
hey, my friend, my old roommate, emailed me this link.
Yeah.
Told me about it, and I emailed you. I explained how I even found this thing. I had nothing to do with the Rick Emerson Show, because you know what? And
Rick, I love you to death. You're a funny man.
We don't listen to your show.
Now, I'm all confused, because just moments ago, I think they were claiming that they listened to our show, and that they have good taste.
Do I need to... I'm going to go ahead and pull up the MySpace message from them saying what big fans of show...
Really? Is that true?
Okay. You can't rip it off, because we're not paying attention
to you. And then, if you go a little further, that's when they start talking about Storm.
That's not true. Right. I listen occasionally. If I'm ripping off anything, I'm ripping off the sound of the day.
Really? No. We're not going to inflict that on people.
No, we're not.
Another example, and you said this in between songs recently, Court. Another piece of solid proof that we're not ripping off their show.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Storm Large every 5 minutes.
There you go. Yes, we are not talking about Rockstar show.
Yeah, we're not broadcasting live from Storm Large's colon every 5 minutes.
All right.
So that's what, you know what that is right there? That's Noel Coward-esque wit. That really is...
Well,
that
and...
That really is Storkin quality.
To you and not them.
Yes, it's amazing how every 10 seconds they can't, you know, they like flip whether or not they listen. First they listen, then they don't, then they do, then they don't, then they do, because they know that at least we're not, they're not talking about Storm every time.
Right. Well, obviously we're not ripping their show off.
So.
All right, we've got like another 60 seconds.
At any point you ever hear us ripping them off, quote unquote ripping them off, or vice versa, by all means, call us.
Yes.
Call us on it, and we will set you straight.
Yes, we give props too, and we are very happy that you give props, although that's sort of automatic if you listen to our show at any point.
So, in short, Rick, suck my neck. That's how it goes.
He's just God.
What is that about?
Which is what, now can you see why I was tempted to call them and say, you guys are just bastards?
Seriously, and I'd like to give Scotty Jason props for bleeping that, by the way. I mean, I'm all for living on the edge, kids, but
vice versa, by all means, call us.
Yes.
Call us on it, and we will set you straight.
Yes, because we give props too, and we are very happy that you give props, although that's sort of automatic if you listen to our show at any point.
So, in short, Rick, suck my neck. That's how it goes, my friend. If you think we're ripping you off,
bye-bye.
Happening. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. What else is left
Winter.
Here?
What's up, Winter?
Not much. I don't see how you guys are ripping anyone off, man. You guys are original as hell.
Thank you,
Why,
man.
Thank you. Yes, you know the deal. I mean, it's very flattering. I think it's very flattering because they're very obviously trying to glom onto our much larger audience by calling us out on the air.
Yes.
And you know what? That's fine. That's typically how radio wars start.
Well, but the other thing, this is all in the family, so that's why I have no problem mentioning Rick. If this was, you know, outside the family, I wouldn't even bother giving him the
but
time.
But it's inside the family, and he, you know, to tell the truth, he does need the attention, and we honestly don't care if we drive attention there because it's not our time slot that he's eaten into.
But no, any sort of quote unquote ripping off was done unintentionally, if at all.
Utterly unintentionally, because once again, I'd like to reiterate, we don't actually listen to the show. Right. Except for, like, the drive-in, and he's out by the time we drive out, so
exactly.
That's it.
All right, Winter, well, thank you.
All right, so there you go. So that's the first time, by the way, that I heard any of that, because, Kristen, you sent me the recap Saturday, and it's like I got about three lines in, and it was just like, you know, it's a long weekend. I don't need this.
And it was the next day. I mean, I waited because I was so pissed. I took my radio into the gym, and I'm on the treadmill, like, 10, you know.
Right.
And I had to wait till the next day, and I still got writing about it. I was just on my last nerve.
We got this email from Todd. Rick, obviously Court and Fatboy are avid listeners to your show. Weren't they even on once? Well, you know, it's... I understand that they're now trying to claim that they don't listen to the radio program, but anybody who heard before the Storm Supernova announcement happened knows that they actually called me on the air one night and used about 20 minutes of their 1 hour of talk time every night talking about me and trying to get me to spill the Storm secret, which they knew about because they've been, what's that word, listening to the radio program. So
they're trying to be relatable to their audience.
It's paying off. I've got lots of... See, this is exactly where this all comes down to. Rick, it is on, brother. It's effing on, says some guy. Rick, this is from someone inside the company. Rick, they also replayed their sex offender contest on Sunday. Let's see. What else do we have here? We've got,
Well, because, you know, it wouldn't have been so bad. If you're such a piddly little AM station and they have to drive people to your station, why are they playing the comment in the first place?
They also, somebody's also sending me copies of their blogs in which they note us and me and the show repeatedly, over and over and over again here.
Because all without right. you, they have no material, right?
let's see. How about this one? Let's see. Rick, Court and... I will actually correct all of the emails that say Boomer. Court and Fat Boy are going to learn the hard way you can't piss off geeks. Their show sounds so wacky. Can someone please implore them to use their indoor voices? They're on microphones, for goodness sakes. Why do they have to shout everything? Their show makes my brain sad. All right. 503-733-2970. Rick, you should shoot up some false ideas on the air just to see how pathetically desperate they are for material and see how many of them turn up in the evenings. All right. Do we have to break here?
Yes, we do.
All right. So behind. All right.
Maybe you should just start doing stupid bits and then, you know, they'll copy those.
That ship sailed a long time ago. All right, Kristen, thank you.
Sure.
All right, we'll be back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We will continue. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Read a couple emails here, we'll get a phone call, and we'll do some news with Tim Riley. Rick, it is kind of handy that they keep stealing your bits. It's kind of like having the satellite package for your TV where you can get the East Coast feeds. You can either listen to their show 3 hours early by listening to you, or you can get recaps of your show 3 hours after it's over. How very convenient. Thank you, Court and Fatboy. There you go, that's how about this? And this is I'll read this and we'll do an email. Rick, so this is an email from Jeff. So from listening to today's show, I have drawn the following rough timeline. First, these unnamed FM DJs start playing the Vader sounder. Then they immediately ask a caller, are you spreading the word? Then 3 days, I hadn't even thought about this one. 3 days after you interview Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks 2, they do exactly the same thing. Then later, they do they devote 20 minutes of 1 hour of their talk time to interviewing you about your big secret, which was Storm. Then later, they do exactly the same sex offender contest you had mentioned on air to the marketing woman. Then later, they claim they're being relatable on the Thursday contest. Then later, they spend most of their next 1 hour of talk time claiming they never take anything from, quote, your little show. It sounds to me like most of their show does, in fact, come from you in one shape or another. Maybe they're trying to get a job, and this is some kind of long on-air edition to get your attention. Don't hire them, by the way, Jeff. All right, I'll do one more here. This is Jared. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Rick.
What's up, brother?
Gordon, Fat Boy. You know, in all fairness, you do say at the beginning of your show that that you're preparing their daily show.
It is,
you
know, true. Perhaps you.
Who thought that they would take it to heart like that, though?
Perhaps I am hoist by my own petard. Yes, I should not have extended the invitation.
Well, what was lame was that they couldn't even take what you had thought was a funny idea, and they couldn't even make it funny. But maybe they planned it that way, and the whole idea was to get a bunch of attention so that they could blast you and have all their friends call the radio station and tell to them how great they are.
Maybe it was supposed to be ironic.
What a pair of tools.
All right. Thank you, sir. No, the Rick Emerson Show, we do not advocate.
Do you want to say anything about whoever was saying that about you biting something of yours?
I'm sorry?
He kept inviting you to bite something of his.
Maybe it was bagels.
It's a cry for help. How about this? I swear to God, this is the last one I'll read. Rick, this is from John. I always figured the line at the end of your show about FM DJs, your daily show prep is complete, was just a joke, poking fun at people who occasionally steal your bits. But yesterday, this is, in fairness, this is actually from 3 weeks ago. Yesterday, after listening to your show, I did something I only rarely do these days. I tuned into a program on an FM radio station that is hosted by ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Bastards doing your whole freaking show. Not just talking about the same topics, practically reading from a transcript of your show. That is effed up. How do these people have jobs? All right. Well, there you go. And I will... So, to be fair, they only made the one passing comment about Storm. They did not dwell on that at length, which I think might have been the final the final straw. Maybe they can't like Storm until Selector tells them
to. I just don't understand how heated they're getting about this whole thing. Nice. I mean, they're angry, and then, I don't know. I know it's self-describing.
I'm moving on.
Okay.
No, I'm moving on now. Let's move on to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From Hyatt House, the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Meet Tim Riley reporting. From Arkansas comes word of a former employee at the state detention center arrested on two felonies accusing her of having sex with male prisoners in exchange for chewing tobacco. Rebecca Lynn Daniel was arrested on charges of third-degree sexual assault and providing prohibited articles, those being chewing tobacco. Time now for Clown Watch.
Here's your Clown Watch for Monday
on the Rick Emerson Show.
Organizers of a music festival have had to change your fancy dress circus theme after some ticket holders told them they had a phobia of clowns. The festival, as it's called, takes place on 8th, 9th, and 10th of September in England. They've asked festival goers to turn up in curly wigs and large shoes, but organizers decided to shelve the idea after a number of ticket holders said they suffered from cholerophobia.
Cholerophobia, which is the fear of clowns, which we have talked about for a long time on this program.
Not Ann Coulter.
No. I'm sorry.
But it's a cholerophobia.
That no, it's no cholerophobia. By the way, did we mention the Corolla thing on the air, or was that off the air? I can't remember now.
We did mention it on the air.
I got to say, and I'm like the world's biggest Adam Carolla fan. I'll say that I think Corolla is fantastic. That program, I think, is perhaps not as smooth as it could be in terms of comedy and consistency, but he's funny. I've said for a long time that Adam Carolla is the funniest single guy on the radio that's not Tim Riley. But there was a great moment on Friday, actually, where Ann Coulter called in, or Man Coulter, as everybody's apparently now required to call her. She called in 90 minutes late, claimed that she forgot the number, blamed it on her publicist, blamed it on Carolla's people, called in an hour and a half late, and then said, and by the way, I'm really short on time, so he just hung up on her, which was fantastic. It's like I said about Ricky Martin years ago. I mean, if you just look away for 15 minutes, that problem sort of solves itself.
Well, apparently, this fear of clowns can cause panic attacks, shortness of breath, rapid breathing, irregular heartbeat, sweating, nausea, and overall feelings of dread.
We should get somebody in the studio who has clown phobia. I don't mean like unnerved by clowns like we all are, but I mean someone who literally has the full-on clown phobia. Wouldn't you like to meet somebody like that?
Very much so, yes.
I still want to meet your friend who's afraid of stuffed heads.
Oh, yeah, the head girl, as we call her. I started referring to her as that in public, and then it led to a terrible mix-up in manner of...
Let's move on.
Yeah, anyway. But I've talked about my friend Tracy, who's terrified of taxidermy. Not of the actual practice, but of the heads. She can't see... And it's all really weird what she's afraid of and what she's not. It's a whole long thing. We used to kind of, like, we would go out with her and her boyfriend. And it was like every couple, there's a rule. There's like some other couple you got to go out with. And they were the couple that we used to go out with. And we don't anymore because they split up and it's a whole awkwardness thing. And anyway, but she couldn't go anywhere where there was like a mounted deer head or any sort of the head of any mounted animal. She couldn't go in. And I mean, and I thought it was sort of wacky at first, like, oh, that's kind of funny. But it was like a full on, like she would sweat and she would start to get like chills and she would freak out and she would get the same thing. She would get shortness of breath, like she was going to pass out. And so the entire time that we were hanging out with her and her then boyfriend, we would go to a restaurant. We go in Vegas. We tried to, I forget what it was. There was some restaurant inside, God, I was at the Palace Station or someplace in Vegas. We had to like sweep the whole place before we went inside because the worst thing is if you went into a restaurant and she thought it was fine and then she'd look up and realize like, dun, 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 she's sitting underneath a deer head. And like, I think at one point she actually threw up because she got so terrified so immediately. We should completely bring her on the show and see if we can cure her through some sort of immersive technique. But we're all kind of freaked out by clowns. But we should at some point, note to self, or possibly others, bring someone in studio who's terrified of clowns. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Maybe someone in an FM show can help us find one.
we'll just farm out our lesser work.
So at the end of the clown watch?
Our lesser bits can just be sort of subcontracted. Here's an email. Rick, I'm tuned into that radio. This is from Friday. I'm tuned into that radio program. It's just heavy metal music. At the top of the hour, they mention phoning you, but it's almost an hour into the show. Where is the Rick? They go from one song to another with no introduction. How is it their program when they don't seem to talk very much?
I believe that's supposed to be a music program.
Yes. Yes, it is. Listen while you can.
Rock and roll selections.
Yes. Listen while they're still around. Not them, personally. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Attention, baby boomers. Rhino has set August 15th as the release date for expanded editions of the first two albums of The Monkees.
God bless them.
But don't expect any reunions. Oh, no. Apparently, Davy Jones said, I will not work with those guys again if my life depended on it. I can't be responsible for their attitudes and the way they treat people.
Because he's got so much else going on right now.
I know. This show was on 1966, that long ago.
It's been 40 years. It's been 40 years since they canceled
grudge,
the show.
He?
I can't. Well, it's like, what else is Davy Jones doing? It's like, I was listening to Stephanie Miller this morning, and she had Burt Ward on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Robin from Robin. The old Batman. It's, I can't. And he's, you know, he's doing something like some PETA save the pets or something. But it's like, what does that guy's life consist of? Just sitting around the house and just seething and, you know, just.
I'm Burt Ward.
Just looking in a mirror. We've talked about Adam
does he
West.
Have his own MySpace, I think?
No, we've talked about Adam West. Robert Culp was the same way. Robert Culp, the iSpy guy. How Adam West will get on Politically Incorrect. And it was like a drinking game where every sentence began with, when I was Batman. And he's just, and Adam West is one of those guys that seemed old when I was a kid. And he's, I mean, he's still around, and it's like 30 years later. And you just wonder, is he just going to get older and grayer and older and more sickly and older and more wrinkled? He will at no point actually die. He's just going to continue to get older and more leather-like with every passing year. All right. Well, we have no time. All right. We want to thank Davey Nipples for coming into studio with us today. Don't forget, we'll be talking a little bit about the storm tomorrow, as we do every 5 minutes here on the Rick Emerson Show. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Ed McCarthy, Gary Baumgarten, Clyde Lewis, catch him tonight at Dante's. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Also, Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune will be in as well. We want to thank, I guess that's it. Yes. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely, talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom and Scotty J. So much smoother than an intern. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. Stephanie Miller at 6. We'll be back in 21 hours. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.